Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue exploring Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Our reflection is by Mike Gillingham, lay reader at St. James. The readings are taken from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 6, and from Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
As you see, I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 53 in the first six verses. This is a wonderful passage. It's got some phrases that we all know and need to hang on to. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Another well-known passage which hardly needs any introduction. Paul is writing to the new church in Philippi. He wants to remind them of the example Christ has set and who it is that we worship. So Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Not all there. So, the one thing I like about this map that we've been looking at now for a few weeks and will continue to look at is it reminds us that Paul was writing to a real place with real people. If we went there and somehow were able to speak the language, we could talk with them and we'd find that they had the same sort of thoughts as we do, worries as they grew up about finding love, finding a job, how are the children doing, is our friend well? We would find that it was a very real place, with people just like us. And also, it was a letter from real people. Paul and Timothy were writing. Again, very real people, friends, and friends with these people in Philippi. And in some ways, if we had just this one, sorry, these two passages, we would have the heart of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. They contain the very heart of it. And I'm quite glad we got the rest of it, but this is the nub. Now, I know we don't use our pulpit much, but I'm always aware of the danger of standing at the front and talking. In case you can't read it, the words on that pulpit are "keep out danger." I don't think they were thinking of the danger I feel, that I might misuse the word of God. I might not convince you how important this is, how wonderful it is. And I'm always nervous when I stand here, but especially nervous when I'm trusted with such wonderful passages. This one starts by continuing David's passage of last week. We need a reminder, though. Jesus gave the same message many times because we poor people have poor memories. Now, I know mine's fading because I'm my age, but we all forget sometimes. When we're presented with a problem, have that same mindset that's in Christ Jesus. And it may not be printers. People are far worse than any technology. And the "you" is plural. When Paul is speaking to them, he's speaking to the whole church. This is a message to us as a group. This is how we should treat each other. Have you ever been in a group where everybody was out for themselves? I do remember when our own dear little Southwest Orchid Society had some people who were out for themselves. And because one lady stood up and said a bit about the orchid that she won a prize with in the show and didn't mention all the others, there was a huge row and people left. And one person threw away all their orchids. Oh, goodness me. And that's how important was that? We're not to be like that. We are to consider each other and treat each other the same way as Jesus taught us. Now, my mind wanders sometimes. This is my favorite coffee mug. I hope you all recognize it. I like caterpillars. I love butterflies. And one of the amazing things is that caterpillars like this, which are essentially stomachs on legs, often looking pretty unattractive, like that one, it resembles a slug most, can change into a beautiful owl butterfly. This is what is called metamorphosis, two Greek words, meaning can change from one form, one morph, to another. Some of you are probably old enough to remember Morph. Do you remember Morph? Yes. Tony Hart and this little creature that could change shape. It's the form. The same individual has four forms: an egg, a caterpillar, a pupa, and a butterfly. But it's all the same individual. Now, morphos is the word that's used and translated here, nature. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And what is that mindset? Who, being in the very morph God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very morph of a servant. The words used here are quite violent, really. In very nature, God did not consider equality with God, something to be robbed almost, hung on to desperately. But rather, he made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant. And that's the challenge to us. I don't know what your position in the church is, and I'm guessing we all have many morphs within our church. It's a special danger to anybody who stands at the front here or the front there, or serves us as warden, or whatever, who sits in that particular seat. Do you know, I'm really glad that this isn't one of those places where if you sit in the wrong place, you're frowned on. But may that continue forever. And whatever we feel we might want to hang on to, whatever position you've got, you're one of the oldest inhabitants. You're one of the people who bring something very special to this group. Whatever it is that you hang on to, don't. That's a message to me and to you. Do we live for each other? Do we put each other first? In all our thoughts and all our actions, do we consider each other? Because that's the mindset of Jesus, who, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He who was immortal tasted death. He who was Lord of all showed obedience. It's as though a butterfly became a caterpillar out of love for caterpillars, only much more so. Can you imagine that? A butterfly who loved caterpillars so much that it gave up its wings and flying and all that freedom and became a dull caterpillar. And Jesus gave up more than that. He was at the same time, and this is different to anything that butterflies can do, at the same time, he was God and he was man. We are dealing here with two huge doctrines, the incarnation and the Trinity. Incarnation, in that Jesus was the morph, the form of God. He was really God, and Jesus was the morph of a human being. Is both God and human being. Now, I don't really quite understand that. And in the same time, the doctrine of the Trinity, it's really important. God, when he wanted to save us, didn't say, I'll find a suitable victim and I will send them and punish them to save everybody. No, God is in different forms at once. It was truly God who came to us. Now, I don't understand that. But I'm encouraged by our government. This was part of the national curriculum. I've edited a lot out, but just to take one thing. Students should be helped to understand gravity. Sounds simple. Here's one of Einstein's field equations. Where you know that gravity is distortion in the space-time continuum. It's better than Newton's law, which you may have come across, and it was proved to be correct in 1919, where Newton failed. Einstein, with his field equations and his space-time continuum, succeeded. And then we have quantum mechanics. Schrödinger, who's perhaps best known for his cat, came up with this wave equation to explain all sorts of things, including, for instance, how solid matter exists. And if you want to understand about these later, you can come and see me at the end, and I won't be able to help you much. Now, if I can't understand simple things like why an apple, when it leaves a tree, falls to the ground, or why I don't sink through this floor because I'm mostly empty space and the floor's mostly empty space, how should I expect to understand God? But these doctrines are important. Otherwise, we give a distorted impression of what salvation is. Jesus was not just any man, a good teacher, as some would say. God wasn't sacrificing an innocent victim to save us. God, in his different forms, is the one who saves us. I've taken this from 2 Corinthians. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is what God chose to do. Not pick on a victim, choose somebody else. God himself became a human being. He came as servant in the form of a servant to save us. And we can't leave this without talking at Isaiah. Now, I know you won't be able to read all of that, but I thought I would put that whole passage on because it's one of the key servant passages where Isaiah talks about something that he cannot have fully grasped. I mean, when he wrote this, goodness knows what he was thinking about it. He couldn't have understood it. But we can understand. Now, there are those who will say, of course Isaiah couldn't have said anything about Jesus. Why not? And if not, what sense does this make? But it makes perfect sense when we see Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, Paul says. And Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah is saying to us that all those sacrifices weren't enough. It was by the sacrifice of God himself that we were saved. That's why Good Friday is Good Friday. Nothing else about the cross was good, but that he saved us. And Isaiah goes on, who's believed our message, to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. I know somebody who every year watches the film. I should have looked it up. It's about the crucifixion. I honestly couldn't stomach it. I'd be sick. It was awful. And I haven't got the next reading up. Let me read to you from Luke 23:35 about the crucifixion. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. He was despised. People thought God must be punishing him without realizing that it was for us. And it's worth looking at this. Apparently, I rely on Alec Matthias' knowledge of Hebrew, which is very good, and mine's non-existent. The grave with the wicked is plural, and with the rich is singular. Jesus was crucified with thieves, in the plural, and buried in one rich man's tomb. And here's a prediction of the resurrection. After he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. How many have been justified through his death? Of all nations, at all times, so, so many. And so Isaiah says, therefore, because of this, I'll give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, which Paul echoes. I admire Roger. I find it difficult to say this. I want to sing it. And perhaps we should sing it, because it seems to be a slightly altered hymn that Paul has used. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a day that will be. What a day. So let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.